Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. This is your podcast. If you are a theme park fan, you're going to love it here because we're here every week having a bit of a nerdy theme park chat. I'm Bex. This is Kev.
Hello.
And we're joined by Kip Hakes today.
Hello.
The most controversial man in the, UK theme park enthusiast community.
I'm not the only one with an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I don't have an OnlyFans.
I'm just going to put this to bed. The other day, Kip mentioned that he had an OnlyFans store and we should all go and click on it. I messaged him and said, I'm absolutely never clicking that link. It turns out it's a merchandise store.
It is. Merch.kiphakes.tv. It's
and there
not
we go.
An OnlyFans.
Just get that plug in there.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep the lights on in here.
Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely not OnlyFans. And
absolutely not. No one wants to see that.
The crux of today's episode is, what a week in UK theme parks. There's been so much going on. We've got to dissect it. We've got to talk it through. And it's basically, are theme parks even going to survive 2025 at this rate? We're going to be covering Chessington, Blackpool, Oakwood, of course, and some other parks, some other things that have been going on, which are not great news in the UK theme park industry.
No, not at all.
Yeah, obviously Amanda Thompson's part of that. And before we get into it, I just want to give a little plug. On YouTube, someone has uploaded the series of that they made about Pleasure Beach in like the 90s.
Oh, amazing. My God. Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much. That was amazing. That was like essential viewing in my household.
It's so good. And there's like this park manager called JR, and he's just like, get the bloody thing open. And like the, yes. The big one's not running. It's too windy. It's outside its wind limits. Just get it open.
There was an episode where like someone put like some soap in the log flume or something.
And in it the just river caves.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
It's hilarious.
Poor river
and
caves.
I always wanted to do that afterwards. It gave me an idea. It's like, let's go mess things up at Dragon Falls in Chessington.
It's hilarious. It's honestly, if you want some good viewing over the weekend and you finish listening to this podcast, obviously, go and watch that. But Amanda Thompson's on it. At the time, Jeffrey's still alive and managing the park. But Amanda is running Hot Ice. And my goodness, you do not want to get on the wrong side of that woman. There's a point in it where she's like, get me the MP on the phone right now. And
we love Blackpool. We love it. We do love it.
Let's talk about this. Let's see what we need to talk about. So Blackpool opened last weekend to much applause, actually, compared to the start of the 2024 season.
Feedback was really good. Like, I obviously, I wasn't there because I've never been to Blackpool, but I did see it was very, very positive because last year it felt like everyone was having the worst day ever. But
was that because it was raining?
Yeah.
And actually, it was actually nice weather for a Blackpool opening weekend.
But yeah, there was so much positive feedback online, and that was really nice to see. Actually, you know, enthusiasts are very well known for sort of moaning and being grumpy about everything, but generally, on the whole, everyone seemed to be really positive about Blackpool, which I think is great.
I think it definitely helps when the sun's out at Blackpool. A sunny day at Blackpool Pleasure Beach is just unbeatable, really. And everything seemed to be. Everything that was expected to be open was open and seems to be running quite well. I think the only negative was that the big one was on one train and the other train sat in a car park still, literally wheels off, not anywhere near the track. So there was quite a big queue for that. But apart from that,
Infusion was running on one train as well, actually.
Oh, yeah, it was. But no one's going on Infusion.
But no one's gone.
No one needs that. No. Not at our age. So everything was open that was supposed to be open. And it's interesting that actually enthusiasts were so positive about it because when I watch a lot of those vlogs, it's really striking how much is actually closed. Mm. And we knew these things were going to be closed. Blackpool have been very open to say that in 2025, there's going to be 5 rides that aren't operating at all, which included Red Arrow Skyforce, which was a thrill ride, things like the carousel, which really iconic ride at Blackpool and great for the family, and quite a few family rides actually that weren't going to be.
You've got Alpine Rally as well, Eddie Stobart's. And obviously you've got all the other things that were closed, like the Grand Prix was closed, the Dodgems.
Well, Grand Prix's Yeah, done.
Closed.
Got
oh, just gone. Yeah, it's just
completely stripped
empty,
now.
Just apart from the little fountain.
Selling parts of it now.
Yeah, Dodgems were shut last season, but they're still there, but obviously not operating. Mm-hmm. But you also have the Grand National, which they've said isn't going to open. It will reopen, but not right now. It's having some work done. And the River Caves are still closed, but they've put a sign, and I love a sign, to say that they are reimagining the River Caves, which is great. And we're really pleased that's reopening. There's a huge construction fence down the side opposite the River Caves where the old Bowlerdrome was, which has been the mooted construction site for quite some time. No one's confirmed what's going in there. But to me, as someone who loves Blackpool Pleasure Beach and has been there so often, I was watching these vlogs going, it doesn't look like Pleasure Beach. It almost does. Oh, and Launchpad as well, of course.
Mm. Yeah, that's still obviously
not quite open.
Yet.
So there's a lot not open at the park and people are still having a good day. But part of me thought, is it too much? When is too many rides not open too many?
Yeah, I think the problem is as well, especially because they're concentrated in the sort of relatively same space, especially the sort of ones that were announced, you know, the week or so ago, that because it's all in one place, you just have a sort of real dead zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's never a good look, especially somewhere like Blackpool, where it's not so defined with sort of like lands and things like that. You know, it's a whole chunk of space. And yeah, I think it's sort of it's not a good look, really. I think if they were sort of had closures dotted around, you wouldn't really notice them as much because you might think, oh, it might be down for maintenance, whatever. Yeah. But when you've just got a whole area that's like a zombie apocalypse has happened, it's not a good look.
It's part of its charm, Blackpool, is the how the rides do all interlock. Now, my OCD brain can't hack it, but I appreciate it.
Everything's kind of piled on top of it.
I know. I'm like, what is this? Every time I'm there, I'm like, but I appreciate there's a beauty and nostalgic feel about Blackpool when you've got rides like the Big Dipper that's like 100 years old, and then the background, you've got, you know, the big one, you've got Icon as well.
Yeah.
And it is just really great. But the problem is when you're then walking around and there's lots of things then not open, it doesn't look as great. And I think part of Blackpool's charm and its atmosphere was all of these rides all running and going at the same time, and you had this great atmosphere with, you know, families enjoying those rides, the thrill rides going in the background, and it was great. And I'm really hoping that there's obviously a plan in place. I'm sure Amanda Thompson has a plan and vision in mind of what she wants to do. I wouldn't doubt that for a second. And I think it might just have to be that for the next couple of seasons at Blackpool, there's going to be a few dead spaces.
Hopefully that the construction site opposite River Caves will get done sooner rather than later, because that fence is quite intrusive. What was always a nice, like, kind of open walkway ramp down now looks like it's really closed in, which is really
weird.
You're
very closed in, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know.
And we mentioned that TV series. What really struck me when I was watching that back is just how busy it was. Like, all of the walkways were just filled with people all the time. The place was rammed. Obviously, you didn't have to pay to get in these days.
Yeah,
so there was
that's a big problem, I think. Yeah. I think that's the big, big sort of problem with it. I think it's, they really, really do, I don't think it'll ever happen, but they really should reconsider that system. Because Adventure Island in Southend, you know, you can just go in there and wander around and it's got quite a nice buzz to it, especially on a nice summer's day. You can go in there and buy, you know, candy floss and have some food. And, you know, people are spending money, even if they're not buying the wristbands. It's just footfall and getting people amongst it and seeing everything that's going on. And I think that really does and will continue to hurt Blackpool.
The interesting thing about the bulk of the ride closures, the ones that which they've said are going to be closed all season, is they are all, like you say, all in the same place, which is kind of to the left-hand side of Icon and down towards the big one. The one thing that's kind of in the way still there is Avalanche. I think it's an interesting thought that maybe Avalanche could be not long for this world. And then that whole area there is a huge, huge, huge space for redevelopment. Like, you could put a big coaster in there.
Yeah, that's what I had that thought as well. You know, I was kind of looking at it and I was like, that is a big chunk of land.
Yeah.
And it's all, but they've always been really good, Blackpool, at engineering and designing, you know, rides that interlock, because that's a big part of what they do. And I'm always impressed, you know, whenever I'm there, to you know, just to think how these people have managed to work out, particularly at like Icon, and you think, and then you look at where the footings for the big one is around all these older attractions like the Grand National, all around these bits. I'm like, how did they do this?
Especially when you surprise think of the big me. One. How old that is, and they obviously didn't have the computers and stuff they do now. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing feat of engineering when you think about it. You know,
so I'm positive in that they'll be able to do something with what they've got. It's just a case of when,
waiting,
and if. And obviously, with what they did with Valhalla, they did a great job reimagining that, which I'd like to think they'll do the same with the River Caves, and kind of bring that back and maybe do something, you know, new with it. And not too much new, because I think that's part of its charm again, is it's like one of the oldest, if not the oldest, dark ride in the UK. So it'd be a shame to completely change it. But the other thing I noticed, Bex, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of staggered opening times with their rides as well.
Yeah.
Which again impacts today. So I think Valhalla was open from 2 till 5.
It was literally open for
a couple of hours.
Yeah, really, really short. Although apparently all the effects were working for at least some people. Some people even got the Ring of Fire, which is like the holy grail of the Valhalla effects.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, the Ring of Fire. I think I've seen it working twice. But yeah, that was, whether that's just an opening weekend thing, hopefully it is. Hopefully that's not going to be the case for a long time.
But you mentioned it the other week, didn't you, about Valhalla, that you should go on it first thing,
because
most of the effects will be working then, because by the afternoon it's not. Whereas maybe they've caught on that then you can open it for 3 hours just to guarantee that
that's a sweet spot.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the good thing for Blackpool is, although you've got these 5 closures, really the only major thrill one is Red Arrow Skyforce. And that does look like it's going, like the planes have been taken off and stuff.
Because all the seats are in the shop, aren't they?
Yeah, all
I think I'd seen, because the other thing you mentioned, Bex, was the to do with obviously being Red Arrow's themed, and with it being like an IP, is it just going to be rebranded, do you think? Do you think there's potential that they could just rebrand it to something else?
I think if they were going to do that, they'd have done it over the closed season. I think it's done. I think it's going.
Okay.
If all they needed to do was remove the Red Arrows IP, you could do that in a couple of weeks. It's basically take the vinyls off the aircraft, even the one that, you know, like the big plane that's on the arm that kind of goes around with you. That's obviously branded as an actual Red Arrows jet, but it's just a Hawk aircraft. It doesn't have to have Red Arrows on the side. It could have been Pleasure Beach Airways or Mr. Funshine Jets or something that.
Amanda's Airways.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't see any reason why it would be closed if it wasn't going. But obviously Launchpad is going to open, and Grand National is going to reopen, and River Caves are going to reopen. So those 3 things are coming back, whether in 2025 or not. We know the Grand National will. They've promised us it will. I will hold them to that. And we know that Launchpad will in 2025, because clearly
might end up chaining yourself to the entrance to stop them from doing anything to it.
Try an RMC that Grand National, we're going to fall out. I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
Famous last words. Clip this bit just in case.
I'll save it. And River Caves, I don't know if River Caves will open in 2025, but it will come back at some point.
I was just thinking, it's a bit of a callback to an old episode, but when we spoke to Glenn, the Notable Stranger, he did say that he was working on 2 projects for Blackpool.
He did.
One being Launchpad, and the other one he couldn't talk about. So maybe River Caves.
Maybe. Ah, yes.
True, because he did redid the Valhalla soundtrack, didn't he?
Yeah.
So another dark ride that maybe
he's
working on.
First.
Nice.
We will clip this bit.
Yeah, damn right. And then I'll be all smug.
It's either that, or it's the massive gyro swing that's clearly going to go in opposite River Cave.
That's gone very quiet, that rumour.
It has gone
I don't know
quiet.
If anyone's heard any other rumours Blackpool-wise. So.
No, I've literally seen no one talking about it. And the only other thing that's of interest with these rides being closed is the Grand Prix, which we kind of thought, it's being cleared to make way for a ride. But they've stuck a load of landscaping in there. Like
it's just
grass.
The little fountain bit now, yeah. Isn't it? That's just left in the middle.
That's what I mean, though. So surely if you were going to be putting an attraction in, you would be leveling that area. But instead, yeah. They've kind of made it look nice, which I hope someone's just kind of thought, as a temporary measure, we're going to make it look nice rather than this is it now. So it's got to be nice forever because we're not sticking anything else in there. That would be a shame because it's quite a big, again, quite a big area. We will see. Amanda Thompson has clearly said there are big changes on the way at Pleasure Beach. She's not told us anything. It's just, I think it's a shock as an enthusiast when you hear that 5 rides are closing plus 3 are not going to be opening on opening day. That's 8 rides at a relatively small park. It's but it's quite a lot to be missing from a lineup, which brings us neatly on to Chessington, which who have in a similar vein this week announced, well, almost the same. You totted this up, didn't you, Kip, about how many rides are actually going to be closed?
Yeah, I think it's sort of, when you think about rides and attractions, it's sort of like 7 or 8-ish, depending how you count it. And that is a fair old chunk. I mean, I did obviously include Scorpion Express in that count, which didn't ever reopen after the fire it had. It's a lot. I think it's probably one of the worst planned sort of theme park based things for many, many years. Just, I understand that they're very clearly trying to ramp Chessington up so it's almost Universal Studios ready.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they seem to be throwing everything at. But it's just meaning that we're going to have a terrible year this year and a less terrible year next year at Chessington. But, you know, they're very excitedly announcing that all these cool things are coming, but the entrance prices are still exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that is what's really frustrating. You know, they're giving you a lot less. It's not like 1 or 2 rides are closed or one area is closed. The 2 areas of the park are going to be closed.
Yeah. Wild Asia's closing and Mexicana's closing.
Yeah, Mexicana's sort of been demolished as we speak. You know, Scorpion Express has gone and everything's been smashed down there.
Rattlesnake's still open though, isn't it?
Yeah, Rattlesnake's staying there. That's not going. I mean, I did originally think that was where the Minecraft stuff was going because, you know, Minecraft, you've got a minecart ride.
Yeah.
That could do with a simple re-theme and boom. But it seems I've seen people discuss that area, the Mexicana area becoming like something Paw Patrol themed. I don't know how true that is.
That's the rumor,
isn't it?
It's just a really, really depressing looking year for Chessington.
A big Chessington fan, aren't you? Chessington forever.
Yeah. And it's also a bit of a pain in the butt with Chessington because that is in the ULEZ zone. So for those of you who aren't around London, there's basically a sort of anti-pollution zone and you have to pay £12 to go into that zone. And so my car, which is not it's not that old, but I have to pay £12 to go to Chessington in my car. And that will affect families because not everyone's got newer cars and not everyone's got ULEZ compliance. But Chessington is the only one that's affected by that. Legoland Windsor and Thorpe Park are absolutely fine, but Chessington is just in the ULEZ zone. So people will have to add another £12 onto their trip. And also, if you stay in the hotel, you have to add £24 onto your trip because you'll be going there one day.
Wow, yeah, of course.
And then you'll be coming back another day. So Chessington have got a bit of a sort of uphill struggle with that anyway. But when you start sort of totting it up as a family and you go, there's like sort of, I don't know, it's sort of, I think it's between like a quarter to a third of rides closed, rides and attractions gone. That's not good.
And I know you did a video on TikTok about it and I did one as well. And I think both of us got a few comments from people who are saying, well, what's the big deal? Like Mexicana's closing, but you're not losing any rides. And obviously they need to redevelop it. And it's not really the point. I mean, if you're not a roller coaster enthusiast, Scorpion Express to you is a roller coaster at Chessington and you don't know if that's going to reopen or not. The fact that it stood there makes you probably think at some point that ride is going to reopen. It's now clear that it's not. And it's not just about the rides really. You know, you had the children's zoo area over there, which I know they've said the animals are safe. So
the goats are all right. they're fine. Save the goats.
But it's something that people do to break up their day and it soaks up people away from rides. And once you take those areas out, it's just it's less capacity for everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because of Chessington's location, where it is near London, you know, and it's a family park, it's always busy. Chessington is busy. You have to kind of prepare for that in your mind. Unless you go on a weekday, you're going to go, well, any weekend at Chessington is always notoriously busy. And like you say, Kip, if you've taken a certain portion of family attractions out, particularly Scorpion Express as well, and there's rides like Cobra and all these other ones, taking a, you know, number of people, you're adding those people into other attractions. So Vampire will get busier, Dragon's Fury gets busy, which always, always, always seems to have a 90-minute queue whenever I'm there.
Yeah, no, it does, it does.
Anytime. And also, Zufari always takes forever to get on. You know, you're going to make, like, this is the point, isn't it? Saying that, yes, okay, maybe it's not much of a big deal and the ride you're losing, but then what you're doing is your experience at Chessington is going to be probably tricky to manage because of the amount of people. And I find, like, a lot of the throughput on some of these Chessington rides are really slow.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So, particularly think of, like, Vampire and, you know, it takes forever to get on. So you're just gonna, you're adding so many more people into these queues.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I completely understand that theme parks need to develop and things have to close so new things can come in. But I think it's just particularly poor planning that you've got Mexicana and Wild Asia sort of being closed this year, and then next year the new land where Mexicana stood will open, and I think the bus ride from Wild Asia is going to be moving to there, and I think there's going to be a small coaster and a couple of other smaller rides, so that's good. So next year there'll be more stuff open, but again Wild Asia will still be closed. It really feels like they should have just left a year's buffer in it and kept Wild Asia open while the stuff was going on, because ultimately at the moment, especially with Scorpion Express closed, you don't really miss Mexicana. And Mexicana's been in the same state for like 3 years now, I think, 2 or 3 years. And so it's just really frustrating. They could have brought that forward to make Mexicana sort of do the makeover on Mexicana and then kept Wild Asia open. But it just seems like madness, and that's my biggest problem with it. I don't mind that rides are closing for new ones to come, it's just so much of it that is an issue.
You almost think, why didn't they close Mexicana last year if Scorpion Express wasn't running anyway?
No, that's been sitting there rusting for ages now, and it's just really, really, really bad planning. And, you know, Chessington does have, it's going to have, they've got the planning for the new hotel and water park as well, which will be amazing. Again, I think that's another sort of Universal, sort of trying to protect themselves from Universal by adding stuff like that. So they do have lots of stuff coming. I just think the way it's been laid out is absolutely terrible.
It seems like a lot of stuff is building up towards Universal. That's what this, you know, it feels like a lot of this stuff is, do it now. Because we still don't know, we've not had anything still official yet, have we? But if it is 2030, 2031, maybe, you know, parks are trying to do it now so that when Universal opens, they've got all this stuff ready to be already open as a, you know, to be a competitor.
I put two Bubbleworks videos out quite sort of accidentally. Because I was one of the last people to ride the Bubbleworks before it shut. And they had like a press closing event for it. And I thought, this is the last time I'm ever going to see the Bubbleworks. So I got my phone out and just recorded like the whole ride cycle. And I put that up on TikTok and Instagram Reels, and that went quite nuts. But then a few days later, I was thinking, oh, what other Bubbleworks stuff do I have? And I was just flicking through my phone gallery, and I had a short video just walking through the Bubbleworks queue line, and I didn't even really edit it. I just chucked it up and it went absolutely insane. And I think, I think like when I looked this morning, it's on like 960,000 views.
Wow.
And I think it's going to hit 1 million. And like so many people have been commenting on it saying how much they love the Bubbleworks and how much they love Chessington as it was. And, you know, people are saying it's not the same anymore. They don't like what's happening to it. And it's not just a load of coaster nerds. That video's had such a massive wide reach And it's gone mad on Instagram Reels and Facebook Reels as well. So I'm just getting all these comments from people saying sort of what a core childhood memory going on the Bubble Works mm-hmm. is, and the smell of it and everything. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be really hitting just how much love people have for Chessington, or how much love people used to have for Chessington.
Yeah.
And it feels like this sort of, it's changing, and that's really sad. It does seem to be that we're getting to a point where all these lands and areas are just going to be like hashtag spawn, you know, of something or other for whatever the thing is at the moment. And I just think it's a crying shame.
And we know that, you know, we can all be victims of nostalgia and looking back and going, oh, it used to be better when it was this and it was that. Mm. And everything's better when you look through it as the eyes of a child, when you were a child, because you weren't paying for it. You were driven there on a day out.
That's very true, yeah. Very true.
Of course, it's like, it seems amazing. But I do think it's really telling that on those Bubbleworks videos, like you say, these are not theme park enthusiasts who are commenting. No. These are members of the general public who are looking for a day out, and they're saying Chessington isn't what it used to be. And that's going to play into their decision as to whether they book a ticket there this year or not, especially if they're not a Merlin pass holder. And I said on my video, you know, would I go there this year? I probably wouldn't. I'd probably go to Poulton's, or I'd probably go to Drayton Manor. Yeah,
that's exactly what we're going to do. It's
just going to offer you a better day out. And it's really sad. And I really hate saying don't go to a theme park, because it's going to be a tough year for theme parks in this country. We know it is. And I mean, leading on to the other big news of the week, what happens when we stop going to theme parks? Well, they close. And
yeah. Oakwood.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what we've seen this week. And this is not going to go into detail about what's happened at Oakwood. And I do have an episode planned where we will do that, because it deserves it. Yeah. But we've got to mention it. We've got to talk about it, because it's probably the biggest shock in the UK theme park world this week when that announcement came out. Then it was basically like, we're done. We're just not going to open. And my husband, he's not a theme park enthusiast, said to me, oh, so when are they closing? And I had to say, no, they're not opening.
Last year.
And he's like, well, they're not even giving you like a year's notice. He's like, I thought we could go down and have it. I was like, no, that's it. It's done.
That's it. That's the worst. I think that's always the worst feeling, isn't it? When you've not even had a chance to do your kind of goodbye.
Yeah.
Final ride on Megaphobia is like, it's the worst feeling, thinking I'm never going to get to go on that coaster ever again.
Yeah.
You know, I remember reading an article in the summer. There was an article someone wrote in the summer about Oakwood, talking about how they went and there was no one there. And there was already kind of these rumours, murmurings, because obviously people were writing these things that were going out in, you know, tabloid newspapers about, you know, I went to Oakwood and it's just not the same. I've not been since I was a child, and all these things weren't working. You know, Bounce wasn't operating. Drenched wasn't, you know, operating. Yeah. All these things weren't working. Everything looked a bit run down. There was no one there. And so I think the signs were there, but even then, it's still a shock.
Yeah.
Still, I was really shocked when I saw the news.
You always think they're going to pull it back. And it doesn't matter how many, like we've talked about in this episode, rides being there but not operating. And Oakwood had a few of those. And absolutely, it was looking more run down. Just for some context, it was my local park growing up. So I did grow up in that park. It's probably one of the first ones I ever went to. It's something that made me a theme park fan. And certainly in recent years, I mean, it hasn't looked a patch on how it used to. It was always a small park, but it was always really nicely maintained.
Yeah.
And in the last few years, it's looked a shambles, to be honest. But Megaphobia was always its redeeming feature, and so was the bobsleigh, which, if you'd ever got a chance to go on that, wow, what a crazy fun ride that was. Mental. And Waterfall, where you literally sit on a plastic tea tray and throw yourself down an almost vertical water slide and attempt to not fall in backwards at the bottom. And of course you had Speed as well, which, you know, it's a Gerstlauer.
That was the first Gerstlauer I ever done.
Was
Speed.
It?
Yeah, first vertical, lift hill, all of those ones. I'd not done one before.
Yeah.
I think Speed was it the first one in the UK?
I think it was.
I've got a feeling it was.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm sure we'll get relocated to one of the other Aspro parks, because that is fairly simple to chop up and move.
Yeah,
someone
messaged me the other day saying what they're going to do with Megaphobia. I said, well, the problem is like, Whereas like Speed, because it's a steel coaster, is probably very easy to relocate. Wooden coaster is just, it's you it I think it's just too difficult to
It's
be able to do that.
that's
There's
going to
no
be
way you can do
firewood,
it.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it's so sad, and also like the whole sort of thing about them doing all that work and spending so much money on it, and it's just for nothing, and it's so sad. And I never went to Oakwood. I was telling Bex during the week that it's the theme park that I've seen the most, but never actually gone to, because I used to go to Bluestone, which is like a sort of almost like a Center Parcs place, and it's literally next door to it. And so I've been there lots of times, but I used to go there in the winter because, you know, it's nice to be in a sort of cabin and drink coffee and look out the window and see all the beautiful views and stuff like that, and just sort of be huddled up. And yeah, I went so close to Oakwood so many times that I was just like, oh, I'll get there eventually, and I never did, and it's a shame. But I have people have been sort of saying that the own because the people who own Bluestone used to own
The
Oakwood.
McNamara's,
Yeah, and there has been, you know, I've seen several people online going, oh, well, apparently they're trying to get it back and whatnot. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's going to be possible.
I mean, it would make sense in so many ways, but also make no sense in so many other ways, because why did
Yeah,
they sell
they
it in the
sold it
first
for a
place?
reason.
I said to my brother, who goes to Bluestone a lot, how nice would it be if Megaphobia kind of became a paid for attraction
No.
annex? Because Megaphobia is literally the closest bit to Bluestone as
Yes.
well. You could literally walk across if they were, part of the same company.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the maintenance that would need to be maintained to keep that coaster going just for that, I can't see it. I honestly, wishful thinking wants it to happen. I but the rational part of my brain says it's gone and it's done. It's really sad, and it's sad for the industry that it's going this way. Obviously, now they've cited that it's sort of economic pressures. They've kind of blamed the national insurance increase and the minimum wage increase and all of that. I'm not really buying that.
No.
Like I said, this park's been going downhill for years.
Yeah.
It's not been invested in for years. It's not really been invested in since the McNamara sold it, to be fair. And I think, a lot of people who've loved that park noticed a very rapid decline after they let it go. But it's not easy at the moment economically for anyone, anywhere. And theme parks are going to feel the brunt of that. And they're going to feel it because if we have less money to spend, generally, a theme park isn't necessarily going to be a priority.
No, and also if you've sort of seen negative reviews of things and people saying, well, it's ghost town, it's not worth it. If you've only got one or two trips as a family per year, you're going to be really paying attention to what's important to you and what's going to give you the best day out for your money. And that's why I'm sort of slightly concerned about Chessington doing what they're doing, because I guess in some ways we're not helping things by being down about it. But equally, I would hate for someone to sort of go, oh, well, I've just got one trip, let me go to Chessington. Oh, that was a bit rubbish. You know, it's really, you have to sort of weigh these things up very carefully.
We'll go back because we do. It's part of what we love about it. I'll go back to Chessington. I'll go back to Blackpool. No problem. The problem is that's because I enjoy it. But like you say, if you're general public and you want to go, you're going to pick and choose, aren't you, where you want to go? You're going to go to places that, things aren't open and not running properly. Probably not going to. It's different for us, but, other, general public who aren't enthusiasts and crazy about it as we are, they'll see it differently. They'll
And
see it differently.
it'd be wrong of us to sit here and pretend everything's great. And it's like, no, go to Chessington. You have an amazing day out at Chessington. And you'll probably have a semi-good day out at Chessington, but would you have had a better day out elsewhere? And that's it. And we like to be very honest here and say if something, it's just given the information, really, isn't it? Look, this is the state of play currently. Make your own decision as to whether you want to go to that park or not, but you do need to be aware that this is happening. And I think that was the case with Oakwood. You know, a lot of enthusiasts have come out recently, you know, in the last couple of years and said, oh, it's not looking great. However, well, the one thing that was always maintained was Megaphobia was still a great coaster it was still worth going down for.
Definitely. Definitely one of the best wooden coasters in the UK, if not the best. And actually, John Wardley actually got to build his wooden coaster after trying to do it at Alton Towers for so many years. And then he got to build it at Oakwood, of all places, and, you know, completely changed that park around, you know. Yeah. And the reason why I went was for that Woody. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's quite a long way for you.
I mean, I lived in Aberystwyth for 5 years.
Wales.
I studied there for 3 years at uni. I studied there for 3 years at uni and then 2 years working there. And then, you know, closest theme park. You know, I was from Derby originally, so Alton Towers was always my closest. But then living in Wales for 5 years, I got to go to Oakwood because that was then my closest theme park. And, but other than that, I'd go back because of that wooden coaster because it was amazing, you know.
Not Vertigo, the Skyfly.
Definitely not
Vertigo. I did Vertigo once. I've got a video, an actual VHS somewhere of me on it.
No, really? Wow.
Yeah, never again.
Wow.
Someone who hates heights. It was a very poor decision. I think the biggest shame about Oakwood, apart from the loss of Megaphobia for us as enthusiasts, is the hole that it's going to leave in Pembrokeshire as well. Because... Yeah. West Wales is very tourism driven. I lived there for a couple of years as well. I was lucky enough to live there. My first job in radio was at Radio Pembrokeshire, and I lived in Narberth. And it's going to leave a massive hole in that community. So many people were employed there. So many people have been employed there and used it as their first job to then go on to do other things. And it's gonna leave a massive, massive hole, whatever happens there. Mm. Unless it gets bought out again by the McNamaras. I can't see it happening. Yeah. And this is what theme parks will do. If they close, they're going to leave massive holes. There was just another interesting story this week, and it's about a very small park called Wicksteed, where, again, they are facing similar pressures. And their owner has set up a Just Giving page for a sponsored run to raise money for the park. That's the state that it's in.
That does feel really bleak, doesn't it?
And it's a small, obviously family sort of charitable owned park.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going. And we've got to hope that amusement parks and theme parks are going to survive because it's what we love. But it's hard. 2025 is going to be hard.
So yeah, I think it's trying to encourage people to still go then, isn't it? Like we're saying, it's catch 22, isn't it? We're like, you know, you might not get the best day out at Chessington. Or go support your, you know, family local parks.
Yeah.
You know, support them and make a day out at them.
Definitely. If you can support your local parks, they're generally fairly good value. Oakwood was getting a bit ridiculous towards the end, which I think didn't help. But generally, if you compare it to the price of going to a Merlin park, obviously your attractions are on a much smaller scale, but it's a good fun day out. And you will be supporting them to keep going.
And it's spending time with friends and family. You know, I think a lot of these, like we're saying, when you go to a theme park. So if I go to Blackpool, I know there's certain things going to be closed, but I've got to make the most of the time I'm there. You know, it's who I'm with. You know, I'm still going to try and make the most of my day out and, you know, try and have the best day I can with my family, with my kids and make memories, whether rides are open or not. And I guess that's trying to put a positive, you know, swing onto it, you know, just to kind of, right, well, let's make the most of it. Let's enjoy our company, enjoy the weather and, sunny Blackpool. And, let's make the most of what is open while we're here. And I guess that's the most positive thing I can think out of this, you know, episode really.
But smaller parks also usually have a lot shorter queues.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good point.
You know, when I last went to Pleasurewood Hills, I was just gobsmacked at how short the queues were. It was just, and it was when they were running an event that weekend as well. So I was expecting it to be heaving and really busy. And it was actually sort of fairly busy, but they were just smashing through the queues. You'd maybe have to wait like one, maybe two ride cycles for something. You weren't just stood there for hours wasting your time. You know, I felt when I went there that, like last time, I really had a good day out because I was getting on rides, I was having a nice time, and yeah, it was just the perfect day out, really.
And we've got to remember there's a reason we all got into this hobby and we became enthusiasts, and it is through a love of being at parks and going on rides. And actually, you know, rides were not that extreme when we were younger, and we had amazing days out and we loved parks for what they were. And as always, this whole episode is not a negative, things are terrible, theme parks are rubbish, blah, blah, blah. That's not what we're saying at all. No, we love theme parks.
I'm looking forward to going to Poulton's as well. Looking forward to new dark ride at Poulton's. Ghost of the Manor looks really good. They're doing a really good job down there. So, you know, positive wise, that park looking really good.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to have a really good year, actually. Mm-hmm. I think Poulton's are absolutely going to smash it this year.
Yeah.
They're doing the content creator day that I'm going to in May. And I think that's a really canny idea with them sort of getting people out there, and it's not just your big people with huge followings. They've got smaller micro influencers, I think the term is, and so that's really pushing a message out, and I think they are really going to fly this year. I think that they're going to fill the sort of hole that Chessington is leaving. Maybe obviously it's a different part of the country, but I think if you're a family, that's somewhere that you should definitely be looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes to show that even in these tough times, there are parks still doing well, and still investing. And go and this summer and go and have a great day out. I think that's the message. And we will focus on Oakwood in a future episode. Let us know what you think. Are too many closures happening in the UK? Were you shocked to hear the news about Oakwood this week? You can drop us a comment and let us know. We're always on our socials as well. Come and join us over there. And give us a little like. And if you subscribe, you're going to get a notification whenever we release our next episode. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.